Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First to these reports this morning suggesting that Hamas has given a cool reception to a new ceasefire proposal from the Trump administration, which has already, according to the United States, been endorsed by Israel. But Hamas has yet to reject the proposal. It says it's studying its contents and will respond formally later today. Let's get the latest now. I'm joined by Lise Doucette, BBC News Chief International Correspondent. Lise, good morning and thank you for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Claire.
So the Americans seem to be pretty optimistic about the plan, but Hamas, as I said, has significant reservations. What are you hearing about whether it's going to work?
Yes, earlier in the week, the President Trump's envoy, Steve Witkoff, who I should say is President Trump's envoy for everything, including the Middle East, as well as Ukraine and Iran. But on the Middle East, he said he had good feelings about this deal, and they were getting closer to a deal which would bring the remaining Israeli hostages home, both the alive and the dead, get food into Gaza, and move towards a permanent end to the war. But what we heard last night from Hamas is that they say that there is a contradiction between what another envoy who's been operating a back channel, a Palestinian-American academic and activist, Bushara Baba, he has also been meeting Hamas directly. And Hamas is saying what the details, the assurances that they heard from him and were ready to sign up to are not what is in the deal they were handed and was said to be agreed by both the U.S. and Israel. I'll give you an example. The BBC has spoken to a senior Palestinian official involved in the talks, and he pointed to some of the really big gaps between what they understood the deal would be about and what they actually saw. They had been assured, they say, that there would be unrestricted entry of aid, that it would be done with the United Nations. But what they got instead was vague language that allows Israel to continue the system of aid that has been introduced. And your listeners may be familiar now with the organization called the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, which has been widely criticized by the UN and aid community, saying that it violates international humanitarian principles. And another big discrepancy, they say that this mediator, Bushara Baba, said, well, that the U.S. would commit to ensuring that a 60-day ceasefire would continue, all the while exchange of Israeli hostages for Palestinian prisoners. And then there would be a permanent agreement reached on an end to the war, which is a key demand of Hamas. But the new proposal gives no clear guarantees, just talks about President Trump doing everything to ensure the negotiations are in good faith to prevent the resumption of war. So what I would say, Claire, is that there is this term that's often used in negotiations, and I've heard it used time and again in Middle East peace negotiations, which of course have stretched for decades, and that is constructive ambiguity. You use a language which allows both sides to say, well, we got what we wanted, and this is a good deal for us. But what we are hearing through Palestinian officials, through Israeli media, is that there's a contradictory ambiguity. They both believe, for example, Israel believes that under this deal, there is no commitment to end the war, whereas Hamas believes that there is a clear commitment that the United States will force Israel to end the war. Mm-hmm. So it still seems very, very shaky this morning.
And is that very unusual that you would have such stark conflict between a back channel document and an official one?
No, there should be coherence. I remember in previous peace deals, the Palestinians would say, no, the U.S. is saying that is Israel's position. Are we sure that it's Israel's position? Put it on paper. We have to see it in black and white. And we have to be sure that there's not just verbal agreement, that there is something on paper that all sides agree, and we're all working from the same pieces of paper. And Israeli media this morning are saying, they are quoting Israeli officials saying, no, we never agreed that we would move our troops out of Gaza. No, we never agreed that we would change this new distribution of aid system that we like. So it seems that there are, that phrase, too many cooks. The other thing I would mention, Claire, is that there's a lot of text floating around, but one of the ones that we've seen is, and I've never seen a deal like this, is that the guarantee guarantee for the deal. They talk about mediators, guarantors, which include Arab states like Qatar and Egypt, but also the United States. But its success seems to depend on the word of one man, President Trump. And I'm sure your listeners are watch day in, day out, that his word can change suddenly. Mm.
And just on the issue of hostages, because Benjamin Netanyahu in a public statement during the week said he didn't believe that Hamas would hand back all of the hostages, the living and the dead. And he said, until that happens, we will remain in Gaza. What are you learning about these various texts and what they say about the hostage handovers?
The families of the hostages, and there's said to be 58 left, only, we understand, according to what Prime Minister Netanyahu said on Monday, only 20 now are believed to be alive. The families of those in Gaza are anguished beyond have been taking to them. Don't believe Prime Minister Netanyahu. He just had a meeting with one of the groups of hostages. And in the Israeli media this morning, they're saying they left, believing that bringing the hostages home is not a key war aim of Prime Minister Netanyahu. The mediators, Qatar and Egypt, Hamas officials themselves, have repeatedly said they are ready to give all the hostages back, all of the hostages back in one fell swoop for an end to the war. The difficulty is that Prime Minister Netanyahu and his allies, most of all the right-wing ministers this morning who are calling on Israel to use, in the words of one of them, full force to kill every last member of Hamas. For them, they want the hostages to come home, but they don't want to end the war. For them, the end of the war equals the end of Hamas. And even though for more than a year now, senior Israeli military officers, including the former defense minister, who ended up falling out with the prime minister, said that we have done as much as we can when it comes to military action. We should do a deal to bring the hostages home because it is only through negotiations that we can bring them home. And that is factually the case. The vast bulk who have come home through negotiations. But Prime Minister Netanyahu still says that Hamas has still not been destroyed. And it is true. There still are Hamas fighters, but their network has been broken down. They're basically devastated militarily, but they still have a political shape. And Prime Minister Netanyahu is arguing that they should give up their arms, the leadership should leave. And of course, behind all this is Prime Minister Netanyahu says, I agree with President Trump that all the Palestinians should leave Gaza. They say voluntarily, but it will not be voluntarily. And we will set up what President Trump calls a freedom zone. It's a major property development.
Mm-hmm. But if Hamas tactically wanted to win more international support, the thing to do would be to hand over those remaining hostages without delay, because it would be impossible then for Israel to justify the continuing action in Gaza.
Hamas did do that. You're right. There is some logic, and it's a logic that is understood by people the world over, people in power the world over, including governments, is that they should do something to win over President Trump. So Hamas did release the last living Israeli-American hostage, Idan Alexander, and that was seen as a goodwill gesture. But then afterwards, we heard criticism that Hamas said they had received assurances from Steve Witkoff that all of the aid would then start to flow, but it hasn't started to flow. And after that, there was a major Israeli attack on a hospital. In this cruel, cynical world of negotiations, for Hamas, their only bargaining chips are the hostages. Mm-hmm. If they give all of them up without ending the war, they know. And it's not just a suspicion. The Prime Minister Netanyahu makes it clear. He talks about the occupation of Gaza, and his allies talk about, and it used to be a fringe opinion many months ago, Ben-Gvir, Mr. Smotrich, who's the finance minister, they used to talk about pushing all of the Gazans out of Gaza, which of course legal experts would say that is tantamount to forced displacement, ethnic cleansing, which is a war crime. But now it is the Israeli policy, as I mentioned, Prime Minister Netanyahu, who has refused from the beginning to discuss the day after, now latched on to President Trump's idea, and he hasn't moved back from it. He thinks it is the best idea. And yes, if you look at Gaza, Gaza is completely destroyed. President Trump uses the word demolition site. What the Qataris and the Egyptians, all the Arab leaders have been trying to do is to come up with a plan that they can rebuild Gaza without forcibly displacing 2.1 million Palestinians. And yes, there are Palestinians who have been leaving voluntarily. There are no schools for their children. There's no hospitals to care for their families. There's no food to eat. Who wouldn't want to leave? But the vast majority of Gazans seem to be saying, if we leave, we leave forever. We leave our land, our memories, our heritage. We give everything up. And they're not ready to do that.
Mm-hmm. And just going back to where we started, the two conflicting documents, the back channel one and the official one. What's your assessment now of the Trump administration and its ability to negotiate this really complex international ceasefire deal? Steve Witkoff, who, as you said, is Donald Trump's envoy to everywhere, it would seem. This is a man who was a real estate investor before he got this job.
It does seem that President Trump wants to end it. I mean, this is his mantra. I want to stop the killing, whether it comes to Ukraine or Gaza, and he wants to avoid more killing. When it comes to Iran, he said on Sunday, we want to wrap up this really quickly. Steve Witkoff, who went to Israel to meet the families of the hostages when Idan Alexander was released, you could see in the videos that he was visibly moved by the pain of the families, by the happiness of a family and of other families for them when their loved one did come home. He felt it. He knows that he can play a role. And it is only the United States that can do this deal. And quite frankly, President Trump, he is the only one that Prime Minister Netanyahu will listen to, it seems. But it's still all a bit of a fudge. So mm-hmm. I think we just have to wait. They want to try to do a deal, and there's been different deals on the table. And Hamas seems to be, at some point they said, okay, we'll do a temporary one. But and pressure is being exerted on all sides. The suffering of the Palestinians is, and I'm sure you've covered it on your program, Claire. The words are sharpening. By Britain, by France, by countries the world over. You had 800 jurists giving a letter to Sir Keir Starmer saying that Britain had to take action because Israel was committing war crimes. More than 300 writers and authors submitted a letter, signed a petition saying that something had to be done. They called the situation in Gaza genocide. So the pressure is mounting, and it is mounting a bit more from the United States, and they are making a bigger effort to bring the hostages home, to get more aid into Gaza, but they're not there yet.
Lise, thank you so much. Lise Doucette there, Chief International Correspondent with the BBC. And just on that international pressure, it's reported this morning that the French President Emmanuel Macron has said that we will have to harden our collective position if Israel doesn't do more to respond to the humanitarian situation there. And the timeline he puts on that is it within the coming hours and days.